Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. Welcome this Wednesday evening and a happy new month to you. In today's message, you'll learn all about the word Kabul, which means as good as nothing or very little. Today, Bishop Dag will teach you 8 things that are as good as nothing in relation to your service to God and the ministry. According to Scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. When you're given something from God, there is an expectation from Him that you will deliver. As a Christian, you must escape the temptation of comparing yourself to another person, as it always depends on what God has given you individually. Whatever talent and purpose you have been given from God, I believe you will receive wisdom from today's word to go deeper and do more. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands and ask God to speak to you tonight. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your help in all that we do. We ask you to lead us by your Spirit into all that is true, all that is your will. We are thanking you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I am sharing with you about what I call... Can you hear me? Can you hear me at the back? Can you hear me at the back? Come nearer then. All right. I am sharing with you about what I call Kabul. Kabul. Now, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 5. Now, Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon when he heard that they had anointed him. When they heard that they had anointed him king of Israel, in place of his father. For Hiram had always been a friend of David. And Solomon sent word to Hiram saying, "You know that David, my father, was unable to build a house for the name of the Lord his God because the walls which surrounded him until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is neither adversary nor misfortune." Amen. Can you hear me? All right. "Now behold, I intend to build a house for the Lord, for the name of the Lord, as the Lord spoke to David my father, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he will build the house for my name.'" Amen. Are you listening to me? "Now therefore, command that they cut for me cedars from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will give you wages for your servants according to all that you say. For you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord today, who has given to David a wise son over this great people." So Hiram sent word to Solomon saying, "I have heard the message which you have sent to me, and I will do what you desire concerning the cedar and cypress timber. My servants will bring them down from Lebanon to the sea, And I will make them into rafts to go by sea to the place where you direct me. And I will have them broken up there, and you shall carry them away. Then you shall accomplish my desire by giving food to my household. So Hiram gave Solomon as much as he desired of the cedar and the cypress timber. Then Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, and 20 cores of beaten oil. Thus Solomon would give Hiram year by year. The Lord gave wisdom to Solomon just as he promised him. And there was peace. Everybody say peace. Between Hiram and Solomon. And the two of them made a covenant. Amen. Are you listening? Very good. Now, this evening, it's a pity that it's raining so hard. But I hope you can hear me. All right. And can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 9, we can progress from there. It came about at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. All right. Verse 11. King Hiram, right? Are you there? Had supplied. All right. King Hiram had supplied. Are you there? Solomon with cedar and cypress timber and gold according to all his desire. Then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Are you there? Are you there? This is a very important message. So Hiram came out of Tyre, to see the cities which Solomon had given him. And they did not please him. Amen. And he said, "What are these cities which you have given me, my brother?" So they were called the land of Kabul to this day. And Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Amen. Now, the word Kabul means as good as nothing. Amen. So today, I want to share with you all about as good as nothing. 8 things which are as good as nothing. Amen. Now, the context of this story is of great interest to us. That is why I read from chapter 5 or so. Because when Solomon was a very young man and had just become a king, his father had a friend, and that friend was not his friend, but it was his father's friend. All right. So when Solomon wanted assistance and help, he approached his father's friend, not his friend. All right. And his father's friend was very, very gracious. Okay. To be gracious means to be accommodating. It means to allow. It means to, you know, make room for the young one to help, to assist. And so, King Solomon was assisted by his father's friend. His father's friend took a liking to him. Now Solomon was going to build the thing for which he is famous up till today. The Temple of Solomon. In fact, the temple is the temple of God. But it was famously created and crafted by Solomon. So it is mistakenly called Solomon's temple. But it's a temple of God. It's a temple for God. But people have forgotten that it's for God and are calling it Solomon's temple. Meanwhile, he doesn't own it. And he spent another 7 years building his personal house. All right? So number one, he was treated very graciously by his father's friend. And then number two, his father's friend gave him all the timber, the wood, and allowed his servants who were busy in their country to now work basically for Solomon, as if they don't have anything to do. So they worked very, very hard, and all that he asked for was food for the guys who were working. And the Bible tells us that after 20 years of this kindness, all right, and after Solomon had accomplished all that he had set out to accomplish, Solomon decided to also give a gift to Hiram, the king. So he decided for 20 years to give him 20 cities. Is it a lot? How many would like to own one city? One day, one of our missionaries came from over the seas, and he told me that there is no corruption in Ghana. And I said, "Why do you mean that there's no corruption in Ghana?" He said to me, "Where I have been sent to as a missionary, they don't steal a little money or one or two houses." He said to me, "They steal cities." He said, you see a president who has stolen a whole town. The whole town literally has been stolen by the Minister of Mines and Energy, or the Minister of something, or a president is stealing in towns, not in single houses or $40,000 or something like that. So anyway, that you can see that Hiram and Solomon were in the dimension of dealing in cities and large towns, not single houses. So when he was giving Hiram a gift, he didn't give him a couple of houses or some money. He gave him 20 cities. How many of you would like to receive one of the houses in the city? Yeah, not one of the cities, but one of the houses in one of the cities. But Hiram received 20 cities, for which I am sure all of us will say, "Wow, that is marvelous." Is it not wonderful and marvelous? But to our great surprise, when Hiram, the king, went to inspect the cities, the question that he asked is, "What are these cities you have given me, my friend?" You get it? He called him my brother. "What is this that you have given me, my brother?" Are you there? So they were called the land of Kabul from that day. This is a very important revelation, because it is the largest gift I know of in the Bible, where somebody was given cities as a gift. Now, there are 8 things that I have thought about that could make something that you do for someone taboo, no matter how big it is and no matter how much it is that is given. How many would like to know exactly what these eight things are. Amen. Number one, the first and most important one perhaps is very much related to the scripture that you all know, that to whom much is given, much is expected. Now, when what you give is great, but it is not comparable to what has been done to you or what has been done for you, no matter how great it is and how big it is still useless. Do you get it? If you have been given a gift of building 200 churches and you build 20 of these churches, that means 180 of the churches did not come into existence. Even though people will praise you for having built 20 churches, it is still worthless as far as you are concerned, because much has been given to you. I'll give you an example. Many times in African countries, right, the governments build Kabul projects. Do you get it? Kabul projects. Kabul roads, Kabul hospitals, and Kabul projects which throw dust in the eyes of simpletons. Do you know a simpleton? Ask your neighbor, do you know what is a simpleton? Do you know what is a simpleton? A simpleton is a very simple person. He doesn't know much about complex variations and varieties of things. So to the average ignoramus, do you know what is an ignoramus? Ask your neighbor, what is an ignoramus? Do you know an ignoramus? An ignoramus is someone who is specializing in not knowing things. All right, doesn't know much. Are you there? Now, this thing, to compare to what has been done for you or given to you, many things are useless. If some of these African governments have received $100 billion of cocoa, gold, timber, right, and have built roads worth 1 billion out of 100 billion. How many would agree with me that that road, even though it may be a very nice road, is Kabul? It's as good as nothing. That's the meaning of the word. It's as good as nothing. It's as good as nothing, because compared to what you had and what you could have done for us, if you go to South Africa and you see what the South African government during apartheid was able to build, white people who were cut off from most of the world, though they had a lot of connections, but they were cut off from most of the world, and see what they've been able to build in terms of roads and networks of things and modern cities, and realize that we who have been connected to the world receive assistance. No, that's what they stopped giving to us. Because compared to what they gave to us, the roads that we have built is as good as nothing. Yes. Where you can have a road only going to the president's house. Where you can have presidents and prime ministers who can just dish out money as though, $100,000 and $20,000, giving it to girlfriends and boyfriends as though it is just, nothing. You understand? So you realize that even though they may now make one big project, it is as good as Kabul. We are about to build a buoy dam. But those who are not as ignorant
will know that perhaps with the revenue that we have had from the Akosombo Dam, which President Nkrumah built, we should have built at least 20 more dams all over the country. So if after 50 years, we are now reorganizing ourselves and making billboards, and the president is now coming to inaugurate Bui Dam, even though we are happy, but it's as good as nothing compared to what we have had. If you look at the cocoa we have had, the gold we have had, the income we have had, is as good as nothing. Sometimes we are even in our personal lives. There are many Kabul things. Look at what you have received. Sometimes even from our parents and from our guardians, and sometimes the education that we have had. You understand? Sometimes we do things and you wonder, it is as good as useless. You get it? Some of us have been taught how to be pastors, how to preach, how to teach, how to wait on God, how to have revelation, steps to the anointing, and so on. So even sometimes with the trickles of anointing that we have on our lives, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord one day says to you, what is this? 20 cities. You know, because you are judged based on what you have been given. That is why you never set an exam for something you have not been taught. My child cannot learn GAN for JSS and go and write an exam in Cree or in Spanish because he has not received Spanish teachings and cannot do the exam. But according to what the person has had, the person will be asked for something. So if you have been given up to A-level or university blessings, and you can only pass class 3 with 100%, it is still Kabul. So to whom much is given, much is expected. So sometimes we shouldn't even be at certain meetings, you know, so that we don't hear certain things. Because when you hear certain things, after that your life can become Kabul. Because you heard and you didn't do much with it. If somebody can remove the ham from the thing, there's a ham here, Okumensa, in front here. Okay. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, compared to what you have received, many times, what you are giving. Sometimes people give money. So, I gave 1 million. Sometimes compared to what you have and what you are giving, the 1 million is as good as nothing. Wow. Amen? Is it not true? Is it not true? Yeah. Sometimes compared to what we have, it's nothing. Because I remember one time, when you look at what you spend on yourself, you get it. And you realize that what you are giving to the Lord is Kabul. It's a Kabul offering. And many of us come to church and give Kabul offerings. Yeah. We are given 24 hours in a day and we give God 10 minutes. And we say, well, Lord, take it like that. They say, Kabul. We are given 365 days. We will wait on God not even once. Or we wait on God once in a year. After he has given us 365 opportunities to go and wait on him in the gardens and cry to the Lord. We are given so many books to read that we read one or two books. Whereas some people, I went somewhere, they showed me a photocopy of my book. They said, we are circulating photocopies of, I think it was Ministerial Ethics. He said, when we have it, this one photocopies, this one photocopies, this one photocopies, this one photocopies.
That it will be given to you free of charge. All right? Hallelujah. Is it from here? All right. So, brothers and sisters, make sure that compare. So, my judgment, you may be surprised when we go to heaven, you'll see a fellowship shepherd on a throne, and I'll be serving the person. Because maybe the person was given the gift of looking after 7 souls. And I was given the gift of looking after 7,000. And I looked after only 2,500. And so when I got there, people were praising me on earth. When I got there, they said, it's Kabul. He gave you 7,000. And you were just playing around with 2,500. And when people were praising you, you were rejoicing. So nobody should compare himself with another. Because it always depends on what you've been given. You know, as I've grown up, I realized that not everybody can do what I can do. At first, I thought everybody could do it. Why do you do this? You should do this. But I realized that there's some abilities that I have that some people don't have those abilities in different areas. Are you with me? And it has all made me realize that my judgment is so much. You know, I'm so afraid of the judgment day. Will you people pray for me? Will you pray for me for the judgment day? Yeah. You see, and you know, one time somebody came to me and said, you know, most of the things you have done, they are people's lifetime achievements. And there are so many. If it comes to a parchment house, it's a printing publishing house. I mean, people's lifetime achievement is to build a printing press. I built a printing press and just put it aside somewhere. Somebody's lifetime achievement is to build a hospital. I just built a hospital, it's also there. Somebody's lifetime achievement is to build a church. I've built hundreds of churches. Somebody's lifetime achievement is to have a crusade at an open field. I'm having crusades with thousands of... each one is a lifetime achievement of somebody. Orphanage, this, that, whatever, books, writing of books, as if I've written... But you see, maybe there is much more. So you see the thing, you are praising the person. But it depends on what the person has been given. So I want to say to you, you know, sometimes we are in the church, everybody is giving 100,000 and you are so happy to give 100,000. It's like I'm always at the upper range, not knowing that your offering is less than 1 cent, 1p. It's a Kabul offering compared. See, one day I had a meeting with some people in the church and I was asking them, how much do you earn? People were mentioning their salaries, 440,000, 280,000. 380,000, 600,000. And I realized that people, you see, you may be there earning so and so millions, and you are sitting by somebody whose salary is 440,000, and somebody whose salary is 220,000. But you are thinking that, you know, we are all the same. The person is putting red one in the thing. You don't know that the person who is sitting by you, the 1,000 that he's given, or the one CD that he's given, it is like, I mean, it's a major thing to the person. And what God is expecting of you is very different from what He's expecting of somebody else. Long ago, I stopped being impressed when rich people come to give offerings. Oh yes. I'm not moved by those things. Because it's relative to what God has given to you. I visited a church. The church is huge. I started to feel sorry for the pastor. Some time ago, I felt, oh, I want to be like that. I started to feel, so I said, hey, this man, I don't know what judgment awaits him. Does he even please God? Do you see? Could it be that 10 times this has been given to him? In fact, in Rick Joyner's vision, when he saw the Lord in heaven, the Lord said to him, most of my servants, all have fallen short of what they were given. So brothers and sisters, I don't know what you've been given, but God has put something in you. And he's expecting a lot out of you. And that is why you shouldn't be impressed with the praises of men. When I preach, I don't expect you to say that I preach well.
Some years ago, that thing used to encourage me. Now, I'm not encouraged by that. It doesn't matter whether you like the preaching or not. If he would only like it, then it will not be Kabul. Hey! May our preachings and our work not be Kabul. As good as nothing. Mercy. All right? So, to whom much has been given, much is being expected. Wow. Lighthouse, especially Lighthouse, pastors, shepherds. Look, when you go, most churches, they're teaching you how to take dominion in this life, how to reign. Do you understand? How to have abundance, principles of progress, promotion that comes from the Lord, the lifting of Jehovah, the El Shaddai, mighty breasts, which are coming to supply all your needs. I mean, you'll be blessed with blessings of abundance. But you've been coming here, they've been telling you to work for God. Work for God, work for God, work for God. Some people never hear it even once. If they were to hear it once, they would be transformed into apostles. You are hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And you are sitting there looking at me. Oh, keep watching. About Kabul, Bobian, and you see fire. All right. So, oh, how many points do you have? Oh, okay. Number two, Kabul. Another cause of Kabul is when you do something that is not pleasing to the person. It doesn't please the person. Amen. All right. Which is actually similar to the last point, which is you give the person something he doesn't like. So 7 and 8 are really similar. Amen. For instance, if you come to my house and present me with a big basket of crabs, you see, for me to enjoy apapransa. Do you know apapransa? Yes. Is that the one with the crab? Yeah. When I come home and I see the crabs there, I know that it's expensive to buy all these crabs. Do you get what I'm saying? But I don't like crabs. And they are not pleasing to me. So even though you have done a great thing, you get it, it does not please me. So when I see it, I'll just ask my driver, do you like crab? Or I'll ask anybody that, do you like crab? Do you know crab? Do you like, oh, I like, take it. You are blessed. Because I cannot eat it. One day I went to an outdooring and I was sitting by a certain young lady. And she's a smallish person. And I think we went to the outdooring a bit late. So they were serving food. So they gave, I don't know whether it's apparent or whatever, but whatever it was, the crab was sleeping on the plate. And the crab was very big. So I was talking with some people here, but I was using this left eye to look at the crab. So I kept my observation tower on the crab. Now, I originally thought that there was some meat, or shall I say there was a meat in the crab that the girl would eat.
You see, I thought that she would take the shell off and there was meat inside.
So as I was looking, I saw that originally the crab had about 4 legs, or is it 4 or 8
legs and some claws.
So when I look, I realize that now the 6 legs have become 3.
And the girl is very short like this. And she was having a discussion with somebody.
Before I realized that this crab, which was having 6 legs now, remained at 1. And
it was left with the claws.
So when I look at the claws, I said the claws that they used to bite people is very sharp and big. Before I realized, I realized that she picked one. She just removed it
like Bruce Lee is breaking somebody's leg.
Look, let me cut a long story short. By the time the outdooring was finished, there was nothing on the plate at all. Okay, you cannot know whether she was eating rice or fufu or whatever. The crab, as for the crab there, it was in the memorial service. So the point that I'm trying to make is that if you give me a big basket of crabs, it is as good as not giving me anything because I don't like it. Even the girl who was eating as I was watching, I was afraid. Do you get what I'm saying? So sometimes you are doing something for the Lord, but that is not what the Lord wants from you. He does not like that thing that you are giving to him. And that thing that you are doing for him is not what he wants and it's not what he likes. Because if God wants you wholly and you are giving him part, he may not even like the part you are giving him. Yeah. Maybe God wants all of you, but you want to give him only half. And the half you want to give him, he doesn't like that half. There are a lot of pastors. Sometimes maybe God has called you to serve him full time. You want to give him part of your time. Says that it's not the... You see, Bishop Saki and I, we used to go fishing together in the sea. I mean, at the shore of the sea to buy fish. And he likes a certain part of the fish, which I don't like. He likes the head, the eyes, the gills, and the entrails of the fish. And me, I can't eat the eyes of a fish. If I'm chewing, I can't chew the eye of a fish. So if you give me the eyes of the fish and the head of, I cannot eat it. And you have given me part of you. I say some of you are giving God part of your life. He said, I don't like the part. Maybe I didn't want part. And then I don't like the part. You are giving me Tuesday evening and Sunday afternoon. I said, I don't like that one. I want Monday morning. And I want Tuesday morning. And I want Wednesday morning. And I want Thursday morning. You are giving me Tuesday evening. I don't want to chew on Tuesday evening. I want you on Monday morning. Oh, God, I will bring you Tuesday evening. So watch out. Because sometimes you are giving somebody something he simply does not like. And it is as good as useless. May we give to God what he wants from us. Amen. You see, one time, I offered God money. God was calling me. I said, oh Lord, I'll give you some money. And God said, I don't want money from you. I said, Lord, take this. Some money. There are a lot of things I've promised God in the past. And God said, I don't want your money. I want you. You see, all the churches that have been built, we've raised money. If I had sat back and said, Lord, I'll send you money, how much would I have sent God? You see, God knew what he was asking.
So when I have given him $1,000 or $2,000, he would have kicked it away. Say, I don't like it. That's not what I want. I want the human being. Amen. I've almost finished. Number three. Kabul happens when you actually give to God something that is useless. Amen. Are you there? Are you there? Useless. It is actually useless. Now, a lot of people love to give pastors useless things. When it is Pastor's Appreciation Day, I remember one day it was Pastor's Appreciation Day. Somebody sent me some, I don't know whether it's a type of shorts or, I don't know what it was. Very colorful. I said, what am I going to do with this thing? I have received many gifts that are useless. I'm talking about it literally has no value. Presents that you have had in the house. Sometimes you see somebody to give you a present. You see that the box is very old. It has been there for a long time. Now that they were trying, it was pastor's appreciation or birthday or something, they'll try and find something that is of no value to you in the house and send it to the person. God said, if I'm your father, where is my honor? Give it to your governor and see whether he'll be pleased with you. One day I went to somebody's house and I heard somebody coughing. Brother, who is coughing in the house? And he said, oh, it's my goats. This brother had goats. And the goats or the sheep or whatever, I mean, they didn't eat grass because the floor was cement. But I don't know what they were eating, but they were in the house. And they were coughing. Every time we came to the house, they were coughing. So I realized that if it was offering time, Pastor's Appreciation Day, Galatians 6:6 Sunday, birthday, whatever, they would, Mother's Day, whatever, they would bring that coughing goat. And the goat would be standing here on a chain like that. And the goat would bronchitis, pneumonia, tuberculosis. Hey! Kaboom! Something that when you slaughter, you see that the meat is brown. That is what you bring it. Kenneth Hagin said he used to receive these type of gifts. And he'd tell his wife, throw it out. If it's not good for them, it's not good enough for God's servants. Throw it out. Throw it out. Can't just come to the house of God and dump rubbish. Sometimes people put coins in the coins from Iraq or expired coins from a country that we can never go there to change that coin. Or a safer that is no more being used. Or some currency that is no more being used. Go and give it to the church. Your mouth. So you realize that Kabul is also caused by something that is genuinely worthless. And that's why Hiram said, he said, what is this? What am I going to do with this? What are these 20 useless cities? Useless. I cannot do with these people. What am I going to do with these people? What can they do for me? Well, I have to travel from my house to see them. What is it? There's nothing here. It's useless. May you not give to God something that is useless. Amen. Now, the next one is that it is worthless and useless to the person. You see, it may be valuable to you, but to the person, it is useless. Because value changes. You may like the crabs, but to me, a crab or snails, if you come to my house with a big metal bowl full of fat snails, I don't like it. And if I know that it is snail, I cannot eat it. I used to go for a Bible study somewhere, and every time we went for the Bible study, the person who was hosting the Bible study would make snail kebab. Was it kebab? Hey! It used to smell very nice. Nice, blackish, brownish, with some sauce on it. Snail every week. And they would come round. The people would be eating. And I was the only one. I watched the snail. I said, man, I cannot eat this snail because I don't like snails. And the fact that I know that it's a snail, because the first of all, which part of the snail is the head? That's the first question that I want to ask. Which part of the snail is the head? How do you know you are eating the head? So it was valuable to everybody, but it was not valuable to me. One brother, he got married. He married a sister. This sister, her best food that she knew how to make was the best food that she knew how to make was salad and sausage. And this brother was a kinky man. So she would prepare. Do you understand what the message that I'm preaching? Do you understand the message that I'm preaching? Eh? She will prepare them the thing. And it was valuable to her, but it was not valuable to him. And so he was suffering. So one day I saw him, he had become very fat. I said, how did you become fat? In spite of your hardships in the house. I think it was through visitation. When he goes visiting and he sees a brother or a sister who can make those type of things, then he's, but when he goes to the house, he told me, he said, one piece of bread, small one, then salad, some grits. I said, so, oh, am I a goat? Am I a butcher? A salad, small one. And then a small sausage. And I'm hungry. Ooh. Are you there? So, it is not what is valuable to you, it's what's valuable to the person. Because see, everybody has what he doesn't like. There are some things I don't like. If you work for me or you work with me, there are some things I don't like. It may not be what somebody else doesn't like. So you may do everything and this particular thing, I don't like it. I don't like it. It makes everything that you do useless. One thing I don't like is I don't like quarreling. And those kind of things. People around conflict, this one, make a face, this, that. I don't want it. I don't like it. I don't mind if you come late. If you come late and you say, oh, I slept, I overslept. No, I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind. If you come late and you overslept, I'll say, oh, I'm sure, you know, you should sleep. I mean, that's not a problem. You can ask the people who are working. I never ask, what time did you come? This, that. I don't care what time you come. It doesn't bother me at all. For years and years we've been, I don't care when you come and when you go. That's not what bothers me. There are other things that bother me. So you got to know what this person values and find it out. And do what that person likes. Sometimes I look at people, I want to say, really, they don't know what they can do to be really blessed and to prosper. If your boss asks you for just something, and you can only just do that thing, and even the rest, he doesn't ask about it. But at least the one that he asks for, that one too, you will not do it. Do you think you will do well? Or you will prosper? You're not likely to do well. Sometimes I tell people, you know, there are some places where you go to work, you come at 8:15, you lose your job. You should have been there by 8. I know one person went to work there. They said, what time? Why do you come? She made the mistake of saying she slept late. He said, what? You did what? It was the beginning of the end. Do you understand the beginning of the end? So you find out what is valuable to this person. Yeah. Some places where you go to work, they don't really mind how you look. You can come in as a Bob Marley type of ragamuffin in a Rabado style or whatever. But some places, it matters. There are some airlines, it matters how you look and how young you look and how beautiful you look. They have to do makeup. They have to dress in a certain way. And it all affects. They feel that it affects. So when you get to a certain age or a certain size, say, you know something, mama? You know something, mama? You can't work here. But there are some places, especially American planes. All the air hostesses are old ladies. And they behave like mothers with small children. Hey, will you turn off your seatbelt? It's a very unpleasant experience to fly on most American planes. Yeah. So everywhere there's something that matters. You get it? Are you listening to me? All right. There are some places you don't go to work wearing your cloth, your mama, up and down. You wear that for outdooring, but you can't come to work with it, come like that, with your graphic. You shouldn't bring graphic. In our church, we don't allow graphic and tags, newspapers. They're bringing newspapers to the office, slit and cover. That's what they call it, slit and cover. Come into church, office with slit and cover. Take that to Barclays Bank and see whether it's going to work there. So it's what is valuable to the person. There are some ladies, they are doing things in the house, you know. So many things, they're always cooking things, frying things. But when it comes to the bed, go and lie on the bed. It's, oh, my head, my eyes, my waist, my sickness has come. And they don't know what. And you see, what they say is that this man is interested in something. That is even why he married you in the first place. I'm preaching a good message. It's a good message. I know when I'm preaching a good message. Yeah. So it may be valuable to you, but it's not valuable to me. Maybe valuable to you, but it's not valuable to me. 20 cities. And he said, what is this? What is this? You have fried beefroot, you have fried crabs, you have fried everything. What is that? Do you know that there are some countries that they don't make stew with tomatoes? Huh? Yeah, they don't use tomatoes to cook. Stew, the stew is black like a river. You go there and make your tomato stew for them. They will say, what is this? I remember one husband, he got up after some time, he said, "What is this? I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired of it. It is kaboom." Meanwhile, you have sat up in the night, fried the things and cooked. It's kaboom. You know, that's why when somebody said, I said, "I don't have confidence. I've lost my confidence before God. How can I be sure that what I'm doing is worthwhile to God? It's worthy of anything to God. How can I know?" The other day, somebody came to say some nice words to me. I said, "Listen, I pray that when I see Jesus, I will hear such words. How can I know if he praise me?" Things that are valuable to some people, they are not valuable to others. Whenever we go to Korea and we are having a dinner and the dinner is Korean food, I am always thankful when I'm not sitting on Dr. Cho's table, because I cannot eat the things. Hey, one day they brought me a very precious item. They were serving. They come. Every time they come, then they'll take. They come and put on it. About 10 different things. It was an egg. I don't know if it was Korea or somewhere. Egg. Black. The egg is the white. The egg that you see as white, it was black on that day. But it was a special delicacy. So I said, "What is it?" They say it's called century egg. It is cooked in urine, horse urine, or cow's urine for 100 days. It cooks it. And then it was there. And they say, I beg you, I cannot eat. I beg you. The next one. Kabul. How many kabuls do you have? Number 5. It is kabul when it is poor quality. Quality. You see, these cities may be 20. You hear the word 20. But they may have been like villages. There is no prosperity in those towns. There's no breakthrough there. But it's 20. You hear the word 20. It's like our old Ghana cities. "Oh, I've given 20,000. Wow! 20,000 what? The quality. Or you say you are a millionaire. But it's million of what? Of cities. Million of cities is not a millionaire. So the quality. So some of you are giving to God, but what you are giving to the bank is the best. Smart. Well-dressed. On time. But to God, you come, you just come.
We are going to church in the evening. And when we go to the church, we go. It's supposed to be 6:30, but around 8 o'clock, 8:30, then when we come.
But when you're going to work in the morning, sharp, sharp, 5:30, I've got to go. My boss, Mr. Smith, Mr. Quamosis, will be there. When you see Mr. Quamosis, you give him, "Hello, sir. Good morning, sir. What can I do for you, sir? Sir, can I make some tea for you, sir?" But when you were in the house, you have made your face like an old owl. Do you know an owl? An owl is an animal that smiles in the night. Hey! But at work, you come with your sharp face. You look so nice with your hair. When you go to the house, you remove the
this thing and you put on the Captain Haddock's hat and tie your hair and you look like Popeye the Sailor. Yeah. With your smelly mouth, you brush your teeth at the last moment when you are going out. You will not brush it early so that when they try to kiss you, they can smell something good. Poor quality breath. That one is for your husband. But when you get to the work, hello. Yes, sir. Hello, sir. Good morning, sir. Thank you, sir. The documents are ready, sir. Everything smart, sir. But when your husband asks you to do something, second of time, I'm tired from my work. I've been on my feet all day. And then I'm very busy. You see what I mean? Very busy. Yeah. But in the house, at work, oh, you look so beautiful. Every 2 hours, you go to the bathroom to go and look at your face and make yourself look so beautiful. And at home, your whole face has turned into a different color. Even your face is a different color in the house. And your everything is poor quality. Everything that has poor quality. You are the same human being, but the lower quality. All the dresses you wear in the house are dresses that you don't like to take out. Because, not because they are nice, but because they are some way. Hey, some of these sisters you see in the church with their hair, you should see them in the house. Hey. It's a kaboom. It's as good as not having a woman in the house. You might as well have a boy in the house. You might as well have a boy in the house. Not a woman. Kaboom. One day I saw a certain sister. She had worn a very nice red dress. She was moving in town with her shiny car. Then I saw her, I said, hey, sister, is it a kaboom? Okay, what is the use of these spots? When you get to the house, what are you, will you be excited? You see that song, they say, she's exciting, she's fresh. Hey, in the house, we'll be singing, she's dead, she's dead. All the spots is for nothing. Zimbo. Find the nearest spotted person and say, well, is it a kaboo? Is it as good as nothing? Your husband, he does not enjoy all this. It's as good as zero. Are you there? Then the next one. Last, how many do you have? Five, number six. I've almost finished. Poor quantity, low quantity. Sometimes you give somebody something, but what you have given him is very small. You get it? Very small. And you could have given much more. And the last one is, when what you give is too late, it's as good as useless. When what you give is too late. You want to honor. You want to give. You want to serve him. But it's too late. Now you're not as bright. You're not as clever. You're not as fresh. You don't have so much energy. Now you want to serve him. It's late. You're as good as nothing. You want to give. When we need, you don't give. You want to honor me. When I'm dead, I cannot see you when I'm dead. If you come and you stand there, so. If you don't
take it, I'll wink my eye like this.
You'll be afraid. Want to appreciate somebody? Don't appreciate him too late. You want to love your husband, love your wife? Think about it carefully before it's too late. If you're angry with your spouse, think of your spouse being dead. Imagine the person lying down. If he's a man, imagine him in a coffin like this. Look at my face. Imagine me, I'm dead like that. I'll be winking.
You'll be saying, Bishop, he used to tell us this. He would come here, he would do this.
I remember one brother, he used to be here. Sometimes we meet in the night, sit down. And when he went abroad, and he said, man, we didn't know what we had when we were there. You'd talk with us, you'd be around. But when I went, I realized it was so different. Because you were not there. There was nobody to talk to like that.
You're angry with your wife? Imagine her beauty. She wear a wedding dress. You know when they die? They put white. Like that.
Imagine her lying there. You'd be so sad. So,
say, I love you. My lover.
Look, it's a bit late. Wow. The people wanted to love Jesus, but they wanted to love him too late. They were coming to the garden with spices. But when the woman with the alabaster box was pouring her thing, they were saying, look at her. Oh, she thinks she's special. She wants Jesus to marry her. We know Jesus is not going to marry any of these people. We know this girl, she's a very bad girl. Last week she was with Billy Z, and Billy Z took her to America, and he came back to Palestine and came back. Now she's here pouring this thing on Jesus. We know her. She's a very bad girl. Contender. Look, I mean, one alabaster that the woman has come to put. Look at what you are talking about. Now you come, when Jesus is dead, with your alabaster. Jesus, you come to the grave. I want to honor my Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior. But Jesus is gone. He's not there anymore. And that woman is remembered all the time. My dear friend, you want to honor God? You want to love God? You know, one of the things, when I look back in my life, I'm not so old, but I tell you, when I look back, I'm glad I served him all these years. I don't regret, and I'm sure I've fallen short, and I always pray for myself, but I don't regret. I've tried to live for God, even when I was young. I don't look back to those days and I regret. Yeah, it's true. You know, I don't regret university. I don't regret secondary school. I don't regret Kolebu canteen. I don't regret Kolegono. You know, I don't regret any of those seasons. Yeah. I don't regret any of those seasons. I've not planned to serve him when I'm 50. I've reserved everything to. What about if I die before I'm 50? You want to love him. You want to serve him. Don't serve him too late. It's useless. One time some people were bringing me food. I said, now, food now. When I want food, it must happen now. There's a radius of 3 to 5 minutes around the time which the food must arrive. Then they will organize the food after 2 hours and bring the food. I said, it's too late. Because, see, I don't love food much. I don't eat much. And I don't care if I don't eat. When I was in school, I just used to drink coffee and eat biscuits. And I'll be there. I don't need to eat kinky, rice, this. No, I can be there for a long time. So if I want it now, it doesn't come now. It comes later. It's useless. It came, but it came too late. It's like nothing. So let it be there. It's Kabul. It's as good as not being given. May your life not be ever a Kabul life. In Jesus' name. Hey, you are blessed. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hiram said, what are these? What are these? Mercy. What is this you have brought me? What am I going to do with it? When you are 63 and you say, Lord, here I am. So what am I going to do with you now at this age? People have to help you to walk. And now you have brought yourself to me. Mercy. Lift your hands to Jesus and thank God. Kerembos prediles. Candele bredesete. Oh, Jesus. Shebele cremezendolo. Telbergiste. Parendele mejambros tentele bragamuste. Pilderigos. Shelderbelidos paradases. Thank you, Jesus, for your great blessing. Manadanso megredilo monajanambres peledengres plodese paradile berebolo bradalense bregedosta ramandele. Oh, palanda baranamande shene belerides. Pa oro daraba. If you are young, you've decided to serve God, serve Him, brother. Don't serve Him too late. Serve Him so that your service will not be kabul. Thank you, Jesus, for your great input. Lift your hand and thank Him. Mandoklese taplegriso shekbeledere madavazonole. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, O Lord. As every head is bowed and every eye closed tonight, we want to give your life to God. We want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe somebody invited you, but you are not a born-again Christian. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to God. I don't know who you are, but maybe you were invited. And as you are here tonight, God is saying to you, I want to make you a new person and write your name in the book of life. If you are here like that tonight, you want your sins to be washed away by the blood of Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, help me. Please pray with me. If you are here like that, wherever you are standing, just lift up your right hand. Stand there, but lift your right hand up high and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Your right hand. Thank you. Thank you. Lift it up high. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life and my heart to God today. Lift up just the right hand. Thank you. 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 God bless you. If you have lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Come to me. Come from where you are standing. I want to pray for you here. Come from wherever you are. God bless you, my sister. Come and let me pray with you. Come to God tonight so that your life will not be kabul. Thank you, Jesus. Your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise. If you want to give your life to come, Jesus, come. I want to pray with you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. You, my. Lift your hands up. Okay. Lift your hands up over here. Watch me, all of you guys. Hey. Watch. Close your eyes and pray. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Open your mouth and pray. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Please forgive me for my sins. Please help me to love you. From today, I give my heart, I give my life, I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Oh God, please wash away my sins. Please wash my sins away. Make me a new person. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. From today, I belong to God. From tonight, I belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving my life. Tonight, from today, I am born again. From today, I am a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. My sister, I want you to go with our lady pastor who is waving over there, and then you'll come back to us, okay? God bless you. Oh, give them a mighty, mighty clap offering. Wow, 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 wow. Are you excited that people are being saved in the church? Is it not a wonderful thing? People are giving their life to Jesus all the time. Lay your hand on your head. Father, I'm praying against the spirit of Kabul that you would not look upon us and say, what is this useless life? Mercy, Lord. We pray for the spirit of revelation. Give us the spirit of revelation that we may see ourselves as you see us. That we may not present to you something that you don't like, you don't want, you are not interested, that you will just throw away. Thank you, Father, for healing us of worthlessness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Just thank God for saving you from the spirit of worthlessness. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.